This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Sports Betting Network kicking off hour two of the program. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Got plenty of baseball ahead, including a couple day games that are about to get underway, which we'll preview in a moment. Still to come this hour as well, we're going to have a little fun with some of the sound that has been coming out of a lot of these NFL mini camps, a little lost in translation.
Yeah, how come you didn't play? I was looking forward to, or is that not part? Is that something different? I was looking forward to your Rory thing.
Yeah, we just didn't get to it.
I don't like that guy.
We can play it in Lost in Translation. There's a little golf in there because there's some interesting sound from Scottie Scheffler, too.
All right. I don't like that guy.
Whoa.
Not a big fan.
Shots fired. I am fading him. I asked Kelly Vidlin earlier in a commercial break, am I crazy to be betting Rory to miss the cut? And he said he thought it could go one of two ways. He either, like, is very much so in contention or he just misses the cut altogether. Yeah. So we'll see which version of him we get. Hey. I'm hoping my 3-1 comes through on him to have a bad weekend. Not even get a 2 the weekend, that said.
I'm hoping to.
Also, end of the hour, we will have our best bets. It is game 3 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight. Series tied at 1 right now. OKC a favorite on the road in Indiana. Should be fun. But we do have one baseball game that is about to have first pitch here in a couple minutes. Cubs-Phillies. Let's get to it. Cubs opened a plus 110 dog. Now minus 106 on the money line. Phillies with Jesus Luzardo getting the start here from minus 130 to minus 115. I am anti-Lizardo, but instead of taking the Cubs, I'm just going on the over 8.5 runs because of the way both of these pitchers have performed. Thoughts?
Yeah, so Lizardo's an interesting case study because he would be one of those that I'd be all over in terms of betting because he's got a lot of stuff that you could argue points to some positive regression for the guy. It's been very bad, though, the last couple of starts.
Well, he had all this love at the beginning of the season, but listen to these numbers, guys. Last two games against Toronto and Milwaukee, combined for 5 2/3 innings, gave up 20 runs on 21 hits, 3 homers, just 6 total strikeouts in those games.
Yeah, so it hasn't been good. But if you look at, like, I can paint you a picture if you look at it for Lizardo. 4.46 ERA, you start there. Expected ERA at 3.6, though. Mm-hmm. The fielding independent at 2.89. So, again, you just look at those base numbers, and you're like, all right, this guy has deserved a little bit better. You dig a little bit deeper. Batting average on balls in play against of 375. That is horrendously bad luck. League average is floating around 300. So, again, the high rate of balls that you're just – if you're just giving up batted balls – The 30% of them, well over a third of them, are just reaching. That's bad luck for a pitcher. So if that continues, obviously it's just poor luck, but maybe that's going to start to regress. It should continue to regress at some point. If you look at the strikeout rate combined with the walk rate, he's striking out over 26% of the opposing hitters he's facing, and he's walking less than 8% of the hitters he's facing. Pretty good ratio there. So, like, there's things to work with Lizardo where – like, if I'm painting this picture, and you can't do this, but if I do, if I remove the 20 earned runs that he has allowed in his last two outings, you're looking at a guy and going, all right, this guy has a profile of being, at the very least, better than what he has shown each of the last two games.
Sure.
And so, if we're just blindly fading him, like, I would push back on it a little bit. Having said that, I don't think the price is enough to make me want to jump in. The other part, you astutely pointed this out. We saw a little bit of life from the Phillies lineup yesterday, but it did kind of peter out. So if he's not going to get run support, if he's going to be below average, I guess I can understand being at least a little scared like I am. But I would not throw Luzardo out. Like, I think that he is a guy that has a very strong profile that a few starts from now, we're going to look at those two games and go, wow, that's a big blip on the radar as opposed to that's who he really is.
I'm not totally throwing him out, but I am saying – probably the confidence down a little bit right now, facing a Cubs team that has the best run differential in the sport. They are plus 108, top 4 in batting average, slugging, OPS, every offensive metric they are at the top of. So,
do you remember when they made fun of Roky Sasaki for crying? I'd probably cry if I was Jesus Luzardo after those two starts.
Also, though, going more into the total aspect of this thing, which at DraftKings, your graphic is showing 9, but there is still 8.5s out there before we get started here. Brown, 3-4, 5.37 ERA, did play really well in a loss to the Tigers last Friday, giving up just 2 runs the last 2 starts, but he has been touched up a lot this season. Prior to those two games, had a 4-game stretch where he gave up an average of 4.5 runs per game over that. Struggled against the Phillies lineup last time they played, 10-4 in a loss at the end of April, gave up 6 runs on 9 hits and 3 2/3 innings in that one. So Phillies aren't amazing offensively, as you referenced, but still top 10 in most of those metrics. So I feel like you put all that together, the over 8.5 feels like a good play.
Okay.
Anything else baseball-wise? We do have Reds-Guardians that's also coming up here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything there. I don't, but Nick Lodolo against Logan Allen there. Red slight favorite on the road, minus 117.
Yeah, so nothing really that stuck out to me here. We should just talk about Lodolo and Logan Allen for a little bit. We can give a brief preview of what we're going to see here, because Mr. Solo Lodolo has been pretty solid so far. 3.21 ERA, 3.80 fielding independent. The guy's been really steady up to this point. You look at his game log and what he's done. He only has really one outlier performance. Everything else, you're probably going to get about five innings, and you're probably going to get three earned runs or fewer. The dude's been steady, and at least you know what baseline of production you're going to get every time Lodolo comes out there. He's been one of those dudes that I've been somewhat impressed with in terms of him coming out and being consistent on a game-to-game basis. He's greatly improved, it would seem, from where he was at last year. And the great part about his overall profile is it's pretty steady with, hey, this is going to be who he's going to be as you move forward. Not a dominant strikeout guy, has pretty elite command, will just get you through about five innings and put you in a position to potentially win the game. The question is, will this Reds lineup be able to do that? Logan Allen, pretty steady himself. It's just that he's pretty below average. Again, low strikeout rate, but a really high walk rate. I'm going to lean a little bit here toward the Reds. Market obviously heading in that direction. Lodolo's a better pitcher. He's been more consistent. Allen's been consistently below average with the command issues, coupled with a very low strikeout rate, and think he probably put the Guardians in position to get got here. So to me, it would be Lodolo or nothing.
So I did want to ask you about the nightcap. What are you going to do with your Giants and your Rockies facing off once again, game two? Robbie Ray on the hill today for San Francisco, though. And yet the market has moved against them. They opened minus 245, now around minus 200, minus 206. Rockies down from 2-1 to plus 170.
Most wins in the month of June, baby, and we are live with six straight wins after two straight losses to start the month. No, look, they are not my Rockies anymore. I will not let you put that evil on me. They were.
I had to do it, though.
They are my Rockies in South Beach, and they will be my Rockies again near the end of the year when they play host to the Miami Marlins. And I think a three-game set out there, I think September, if I remember correctly. But no, I think, look, the Giants got away with one yesterday. But as we have discussed at length, I have been wildly impressed and incorrect at the beginning of the year for Robbie Ray. Ray is a guy that the initial numbers, you looked at it and said, oh, this guy's probably at some point going to wash up. I mean, the command is a little bit of an issue. You talk about the high strikeout rate, but the non-ability to stop guys from getting on. The batting average on balls in play, very below average, but Stormy's numbers are tightening up as the year goes along, and he is pretty much in ace territory right now. He's in NL Cy Young contention territory right now. A sub-2.5 ERA, a nearly sub-3 FIP. He is rock solid across the board. He's one of these dudes that maybe even in altitude, you don't want to test it, right? Because it doesn't, breaking balls don't break as much. Pitchers tend to perform pretty poorly on the road in Colorado. So maybe you're not going to get the exact performance here. And so maybe minus 206 is a skosh too high. And on the other side, you get Kyle Freeland, who, again, underlying metrics, ERA of 5.19, FIP of 3.55. If this was a pitching matchup out in San Francisco, I think I'd very much lean toward the under. Mm-hmm. But this being out there in Colorado and the fact that Freeland, if you look at where he has pitched at times and what's been going on with him, I don't trust that pitchers are going to have their best performances when they're pitching in the Rockies, as I don't think anybody would disagree with.
Kyle Freeland on the year, 1-8, 5.19 ERA. In Denver, however, 0-4. 7.71 ERA, opponents batting over 400.
Yeah.
And then you got a bullpen ERA that's bottom 10 in the league as well. And to your point, though, about the ballpark and that, hey, the Rockies bats maybe could be better at home. We talked about this with Nate Kreckman, if you remember last weekend, where he was like, you would think even the home run numbers, at least at home, would be good. But they're still bottom five in the league in home runs, because even there, it hasn't really worked out for them. This Rockies team dead last with a minus 199 run differential. They're last in average. They're bottom five in just about every offensive statistic. What I was looking at here, which I did think was kind of interesting, I feel like the Giants should be able to find some separation in this one. So I was looking at the run line with them, minus 1.5 runs, minus 130. San Francisco's on a six-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those wins has been decided by a single run. Even going back the last eight games, win or lose, all of them decided by a single run. Today, we get the two runs or more.
I
feel good about it, and I also like Robbie Ray under 2.5 earned runs, minus 115.
Very much need him to sweep them, because they go to L.A. after this. So this is a – and, man, the late portion of the schedule, we are live here with this most wins.
Anything else you like today?
Let's see. So also on the card today that I thought was pretty interesting in terms of the matchups, it's hard not to go to Yankees and Royals one more time here today. Bubic gets the start today for the Royals. And again, you talk about some of these fringe Cy Young contenders and how well some of these guys have pitched. And Chris Bubic is one of those guys. 143 ERA, 245 fielding independent. But again, the fascinating dynamic of a lefty taking on this Yankees lineup. Bubic has been great, but he is facing a lineup which is matched on the likes of him. So I'm going to be fascinated to see if Bubic can actually keep his team in this. Because unlike our guy Cameron yesterday, as we had discussed, there was like with Adam, there were some underlying metrics, which is why the second I made the bet, I even brought it up to you. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, we're probably going to lose this one loud because there's like this, this, and this in his profile. Bubic, there's not really that. And Clark Schmidt, this is actually an interesting pitching matchup because Schmidt's a guy that I have kind of, both from a fantasy perspective and from a betting perspective, tried a couple of times to be like, no, like this guy's better than what the results are. And then there's outings where he performs relatively well, outings where he's blown up. He's been relatively consistent, though. And with this lineup performing the way it is, I think you can go back to a first three under 1.5 one more time for this Yankees-Royals matchup. I trust Bubic more than I do the prospect in Cameron. I think you can get a low-scoring game here in the first three frames.
Okay, and one more thing. I'll dive into this later on more when we do our best bets, but for anybody who's not going to be with us for the full hour, I'm also on Detroit today. Another one of these instances against Baltimore where I think the Orioles are getting too much respect in the market, and it's moving against Detroit. You're getting plus 107 right now.
If Baltimore has no haters, Stormy is dead.
It's by the way, in addition to all this MLB talk, remember, College World Series coming up this week, and Money Moves is hitting the road to Omaha. Catch the show tomorrow and Friday beginning at noon Eastern, live from Rocco's, the home of the Jello Shot Challenge. Also, the unsanctioned wagers, if you want to place one on me, 12-1 with the Bank of JBT. It's available for the Jello Shot Challenge. VSiN.com/CWS for all the details and get a free College World Series betting guide. Don't miss it. Can't wait to get out to Omaha tomorrow. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest this football season for free? Winner Circle Proxy, giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. And get this, you'll be paired with a VSiN host as well for strategy throughout the course of the season. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. And football is on the mind right now with 25 mini camps in action yesterday and today. Big news, obviously, coming out of Steelers camp that we saw Aaron Rodgers out there on the practice field, which is weird to see him in those colors, is it not? Seeing him pass up all the DK Metcalf and them both in the black and gold. It's not weird to you?
No, not at all.
I thought it was
we're in a different era.
It just feels wrong.
This is how it is. We've seen Brett Favre in three different uniforms. We've seen Aaron Rodgers now in three different uniforms. I saw Peyton Manning as a Denver Bronco. It happens. It's what happens. It's free agency, baby. It's the way this works. It's the free market. Get used to it.
Aaron Rodgers did shade the Jets without, I think, intentionally shading the Jets. Or maybe it was. I feel like everything he does is pretty calculated. Talking about what a great franchise he was with in the Packers. And I was with another great franchise, just kind of glossed over the last 2 years there. But let's hear from A-Rod at the podium some of the items that came out of yesterday's press conference.
Well, I was dealing with a lot of things in my personal life. And some things improved a little bit where I felt like I could fully be all in here with the guys. Had a great conversation with Mike throughout the entire process and Omar. But it's good to get that done and get behind us. That's what it is. Like, I don't need it. For my ego, I don't need it to keep playing. A lot of decisions that I've made over my career and life from strictly the ego, even if they turn out well, are always unfulfilling. But the decisions made from the soul are usually pretty fulfilling. So this was a decision that was best for my soul. And I felt like being here with Coach T and the guys that got here and the opportunity here was the best for me. And I'm excited to be here.
Obviously signs a very team-friendly deal.
Sorry, I fell asleep. Sorry. Did he say anything interesting?
Call him Mike Tomlin, Mike T. Says it's good for the soul. Signed this team-friendly deal. Doesn't need a lot of money. He just wants to be out there playing ball.
He's such a good guy. Man, just sacrificing everything for the greater good. Such a good guy.
the personal reasons I hope wouldn't be just that he was getting married, but that is another thing that came out of the press conference as well, which if you're Matt Eumanns means it's another
downgrade.
Fade. So yep. We've got another downgrade. So how many people are we downgrading right now? We're downgrading Rodgers. We're downgrading Josh Allen.
Correct.
We learned Drake May is getting married this summer as well.
Correct,
so another
correct.
Downgrade. So add him to the list.
Yes. Big problem for all of them. No, look, he's going to say all the right things. Let's see what happens when we're, you know, 4 or 5 months into this thing and they're losing football games. I mean, I think that – so I feel conflicted because I think this team is more flawed than people are giving it credit for, however I'm supposed to phrase that. I think that there is a perception because they're the Steelers that their defense is one of the best in the NFL, when I think the reality is their front seven's pretty good and their back end, I think, has some work to do, and it was quietly pretty below average last year. We'll see if that gets any better this year with some of the additions that they have made. But I think that in the grand scheme of things, this is an average roster at best with a quarterback – who is very old in quarterback years, coming off of his worst season and a very average season at that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's much better than what they've had. But I think there's also reality where Aaron Rodgers continues the trend of, look, he is on a downward trajectory. That's what happens. You're the tail end of your career. So even if he sinks to just, like, you know, slightly below average, it's a pretty big blow for this team in a crowded AFC, in a very crowded division. And I will reiterate, I would not chalk up the two Cleveland games to victories for the Steelers. Mm. The Clevelands are a pretty talented defensive team. They have a lot going on that end of the football. And so those are not going to be games in which you just chalk up, like, at least you're going to get two wins in the AFC North.
No,
I just don't think that's the case. And I think you look at the rest of the schedule. Stormy, as we have discussed, I have one bet in my account for week one of the NFL season. It's the Jets at home. Like, I don't think that they're that much better, that they should be laying 3 points on the road against the New York Jets. I just don't buy it.
That is one layer, too, that I don't think we brought up enough when this was all coming out, that it was official. It was like even the schedule makers in the NFL knew that Aaron Rodgers was going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no wonder that the odds didn't have any adjustment there. They do have a very tough back end of the season. My last thought on that is that I understand what you're saying about the Browns specifically, but the Steelers every year win games in the division that they shouldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
So this defense is really good, although they are having some contract issues with their star. Aaron Rodgers mentions this being good for his soul, the soul of the defense, T.J. Watt, not at mandatory minicamp right now. Mm-hmm. He and the other leader in sacks the past 2 years, Trey Hendrickson, not at camp as they're trying to figure things out. And let's transition to the Bengals because their first-round rookie, Shamar Stewart, talked vocally, openly about the status of his contract right now, and Trey was included.
Like some people say, we all agree Trey will be right? But technically, he's still 1% wrong for being under contract. So, and in my case, I'm 100% right. So it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17 and a half sacks for 2 years back to back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that. But
are you surprised he's even there?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I guess you're just kind of just there to be in the building because once it gets done, if it gets done, then you can do what you need to do. But you also look,
But I don't want, if I'm his agent or whatever, I don't want my guy talking to the media right now while they're trying to figure this thing out either.
I mean, I will say this in terms of this being like news, noise, whatever in between. The fact that this organization continues to have this sort of a problem,
yeah,
I think is somewhat of a red flag at this point. He had a pretty good quote of the, y'all just want to win arguments more than you want to do winning games. And that is something where it's a little troublesome for a team that, again, what have we talked about with these slow starts? There was always something. There was always something with this organization, whether it's usually injury related, that I think you could point to for being some of these slow starts. And when we discussed with Hendrickson, I told you, I was like, wake me up when we get to training camp. Well, we're inching closer and we're still getting these problems. And now you have this. I think sometimes the way organizations are run, this is a problem internally. And this is now this is now continuing.
For Hendrickson, he's kind of been the odd man out after the other big signings in the wide receiver room this offseason. The Bengals with Stewart are trying to change the language in his contract to avoid some future guarantees, and he's been particularly frustrated because first-round picks in the past that have been selected lower than him do not have this language in their contract. So we'll see if they're able to get it worked out, but it does seem significant, at least in my mind right now, specifically knowing how bad they were on defense. Sure, you can try to outscore everybody, but you're going to need a little bit of help. Let's go to the U.S. Open. We mentioned a quote from Rory McIlroy earlier that we didn't ultimately get to, but this guy's a little prickly on the podium when asked about his driver.
Rory, have you settled on a driver that you want to use this week, first of all?
Yeah.
What is it?
A TaylorMade.
What model? Are you back to the 10?
Or the come out and watch me hit balls and you'll see.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
I mean, he's annoying, first off. Seriously, like, go back. I keep saying this about him because he had his meltdown post-Masters. He's totally front and center when he's ready to get all the adulation. And then the second it starts going south, it's a contentious relationship with everybody who's asking him questions. You want to be in front of the camera when it's all going well. You want nothing to do with what comes with your platform when it starts to go south. To me, that's annoying. Like, that's extremely annoying. Just answer the question. And look, I am not going to pretend to know the intricacies of the rules of golf and what's going on with his driver or anything like that. But, like, just answer the question.
Yeah. That's why I've seen his odds plummet, by the way, 6-1 to 12-1. Not for these comments, but the way that he has performed since the Masters.
The only comments that can get your odds to drop is if you're a head coach of a Big Ten program that doesn't know where LA is, and then all of a sudden the market will start to freak out.
Okay, you have to admit that was hysterical, though.
It was funny, but we saw the market move like a half point on the way. It was like their opening game.
Well, if he doesn't know what state he's in, how is he going to know about the offense?
No, there's a whole point. He knew. He was telling you. We're in LA.
One more. Scottie Scheffler. Let's hear from him as well.
Just a different type of test than you see at the Masters. Both of them are fantastic tests. I mean, this is probably the hardest golf course that we'll play maybe ever. And, I mean, that's pretty much all it is. It's just a different type of test. Like, when you miss a green at the Masters, the ball kind of runs away and it goes into these areas and you can play a bump, you can play a flop. There's different options. Here, when you hit the ball over the green, you're just getting some heavy rough and it's like, let me see how I can pop the ball out of this rough and somehow give myself a look. It's just a different type of test. And
He compared it to tennis, how you have like grass surfaces, clay, like different surfaces and how they're very challenging just in their own ways. Sure. Like, no shade to the Masters. That's a very difficult one as well. But this would probably be the most challenging course that he'll play, which plus 275. I know it's gross. I have a bet on Scottie Scheffler this week. I'm boring. I'm chalk. But for the most consistent guy, the best player in the world, the skill set lends so well for him. I'm playing other players in the winner without, and I played Scottie Scheffler
to win. You did outright? Not like top 10, top 20, anything like that?
For Scheffler?
Yeah.
Just outright.
Okay.
Just rolling with it.
I mean, I don't blame you. Again, like to keep the anecdote going of it being a test, he seems like one of those annoying kids. Like, oh, man, that was hard. Like, what'd you get? Leon 97. Right?
I mean, for a course that requires, like, patience and an even-keeled attitude, he's just the perfect guy for it in my brain.
Sure.
So, whatever. Have a little fun. We're going to get more into the U.S. Open in a bit. Don't miss it. Coming up next, Reed Fowler, ESPN Radio and PGA Tour Live, joins the show.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Has been on fire, winning three of his last four events on tour, including the PGA Championship. Can he go back to back and hit another major championship with the U.S. Open getting underway this weekend from Oakmont? Stormy Bontoni, JBT with you back here on Money Moves to help us break down all of the action coming up this weekend on one of the toughest courses out there. Reed Fowler joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, ESPN Radio, PGA Tour Live, golf betting analyst, broadcaster, does all the things. Reed, how pumped are you for this weekend?
Stormy, this is one of my favorite weekends, A, because it's Father's Day, so shout out to all the fathers out there, but B, U.S. Open, we always get to see these guys become human, right? There's some social media clips that are going around asking all the players, if you could buy even par right now when all is said and done on Sunday, would you buy it? All of these guys say, absolutely, Oakmont should be a very, very fun test, and to see these guys are actually human.
All right, Reed, so as you look at this, everybody we've talked to echoes some of the same qualities. You want to be accurate off the tee. Power might not be your biggest asset here. What is the archetype of the golfer that will have success this weekend?
Yeah, JVT, when you talk about just majors that we've seen this year, right, golf from week to week, from month to month, year to year, it can change a little bit. But one thing has remained the same this year about the U.S. – or excuse me, about the majors – is that elite winners have been winning this this tournament, or these tournaments, these majors. Interesting fact, though, about the U.S. Open, 12 of the last 16 U.S. Open winners, guys, were first-time major champs. So that's something to consider. Obviously, you need all the elite stuff, tee to green, strokes gained approach, around the green. But one thing that I'm going to be watching for, too, are the more cerebral golfers, right? Guys who need to club down off the tee to keep stuff in play, not necessarily like you're mentioning the Brysons and maybe even the Scotties of the world, the Rorys that just bomb it off the tee. It's not going to be like that. You might need to be a little more cerebral. So those are the things outside of the normal stats that I'm looking for this week at the U.S. Open.
So I mentioned Scottie Scheffler off the top and the form that he's been playing with recently. He said this week this would be the hardest course that he's ever played. How do you bet on, if at all, Scottie Scheffler this week? Like, what is the approach with him? Are there ways to capitalize? Or when you do some of these outrights, are you looking at the without Scheffler options because he's priced so low? Take us through it.
So, I mean, you might have to team him up with, like, an NFL future, like the Steelers to miss the playoffs, right, to maybe up the ante a little bit on Scottie Scheffler. You know, shout out Steeler fans. Hopefully you guys don't miss the playoffs. But, like, that's what you have to do with Scottie. At plus 280 on most, or under 3-1 on most books, that's just not a value bet. Look, you can wait until, let's say, he's 5-6 over par, even if that happens on a Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, and maybe you get that drift down to a 5 or to an 8, and maybe if you're lucky, you get double digits at 10, which probably isn't going to happen. That's what you got to do. You need to pair him up with some futures, maybe NFL, maybe you take Rams to win the NFC, something like that is how you bet Scottie Scheffler. But just to win outright, I don't see any value in that.
Is there a name that you keep hearing that you disagree with?
Yeah, Bryson. Bryson is a guy that, I mean, look, he's been amazing, right, in the majors. Obviously, he went to the U.S. Open last year. He's a defending champ. But at this stage, right, and like we talked about, the archetype of player, and look, Bryson is cerebral, but he's 7-1. He's plus 700. That to me isn't value when I see guys a little bit lower on the board, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, that I do see that have value. Could Bryson win? Absolutely. But I'm not going to be betting Bryson at 7-1.
One follow-up to the comment you made earlier about all these players saying, yeah, they would take par. The prop for winning score this weekend is 278.5, so 1.5 under par. Over is minus 105. Under is minus 140. What do you think the final score is going to be? Do we get even or under par?
Yeah, I mean, I think over par. I think the winning score is probably going to be right around +4, +3, if we're lucky. Maybe, like, if you get even, I think you're winning this tournament. But the winning score, in my opinion, yeah, right around that 2 over, Stormy. And so if you want to play it that way, I think that's a great angle. You don't necessarily want to go with the outrights, right, the sexy bets, so to speak. Yeah, absolutely. Take some of those other ancillary bets where I do think that score is going to be at that 2 over, that winning score, 2-4 over par, right around there.
Reed, who do you think a little bit deeper down the board, we aren't talking enough, that maybe has a game that is suited here? A little bit more of a straight shooter, a little less powered, a little farther down the odds board.
Yes, a name that you're going to hear a lot as well is Patrick Cantlay, +4,500, 45-1. Like, I get it. Patrick Cantlay is one of the guys that I always bet. Stormy, you know this very well, that Cantlay is always there. I always try to find a way to bet him, and then when I do, he doesn't pan out. But he's someone that is slowly coming into form. But JVT, there's one player that's been playing on the PGA Tour for a long time, and you always kind of see him just around the leaderboard on Sunday. That's Harris English. He's at 90-1 right now, so he's way down the board. He's someone that always, like I mentioned earlier, just sticks around. You saw him at the PGA Championship. You see him at Augusta National, pop up on the first page of the leaderboard. You're like, where did English come from? Well, he's a player, again, is straight off the tee. He's got a lot of experience, too. 2016, Oakmont was the last time that the U.S. Open was here when Dustin Johnson won. You have someone like a Harris English who has just had longevity on tour. Love his game, especially when it comes to a major track. So give me Harris English. You don't want to bet him outright at 90. His derivative markets, you know, top 10 is plus 550. Love that as well.
You got me excited because I thought you were going to say Tommy Fleetwood.
You know what, Tommy Fleetwood? I wish, right? He's gonna go into the 13 of 17 of last, you know, the last winners to be first, his first win on the PGA Tour, but his first win, first major. I would love Tommy. I would pay great money. I would lose all of my bets if Tommy Fleetwood win the U.S. Open. I just can't do it, JVT. I just can't keep bring myself to lose money on Tommy. And Finau is the same guy. Like, Fleetwood and Finau are my players that I contribute, right, to the Sportsbook Charity Fund, where it's just take my money. I will always bet these guys because they're my favorites, but it hasn't panned out yet.
Yeah, that's Michael Lombardi, who I used to host the Lombardi Line with, would always call it a St. Jude's play. You're just better off donating the money to charity at that point. To continue this, though, as Reed Fowler, ESPN Radio, PGA Tour Live joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, as you look at not just the outrights, but some of those other top 10, top 20 markets, maybe head-to-heads, were there any props that stood out to you?
Cameron Young is also a player that's slowly trending. Like, he qualified for the U.S. Open, had to go to the qualifiers. You saw him beat out a handful of players, including Max Homa, Ricky Fowler. So love him, love what he's doing. Look, he almost contending, or he was contending in Canada. So love Cameron Young in any matchup that you can get. You know that we auto bet Aaron Rye first round leader, Stormy. Anytime that we get a chance to get an Aaron Rye FRL bet out there, we do it. We don't think about it. We don't think twice about it. We bet Aaron Rye first round leader. But another player to look out for, too, is Akshay Bhatia. He's also someone, like, outright, he's at plus 120. And if you don't necessarily believe that he has the chops to win a major, like he's already won on the PGA Tour, go after him in the outright, or go after him in the matchups and those derivative markets. Again, I love him as an outright, just as a bullet out there at plus 120, but also love him in those derivative markets.
Reed, it sounds like maybe weather will be a factor over the weekend. Do we expect that to impact the way this will get played?
Yeah, a little bit, JVT. Okay. And if it can get if it gets wet, look, this is a par 70, a little over 7,300 yards. Okay, it's got the longest par three. Look, that's not going to matter off the tee because you hopefully get to the green. But I've seen stuff on social media that Colin Morikawa is hitting driver on this par three, hole eight, playing 289 yards. Wow. And they got two par fives over 600 yards. So, yeah, I mean, 7,300 yards is what's on the card right now. But when you talk about where they could place the tees, where they can place the pins, that becomes longer. As a par 70, you take away two par fives, you really, really got to score in those par fours, par fives, and just keep serve on those par fours. So, yeah, could get a little wet there, and we'll see what that does for the U.S. Open.
It's going to be such a fun weekend. Any other bets you have before we let you go? We got about 60 seconds.
Look, all this Aaron Rodgers talk, I love to bet against public sentiment. Everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers. I know we're talking NFL, not PGA.
Yeah.
I think that they are going to make the playoffs. I don't know. Like, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is a comeback player of the year candidate. I don't think he is. But give me all the Steelers bets. I love going against public sentiment when it's something like this, when it's negative sentiment against someone or some team. It's Mike Tomlin, guys. So give me all the pro Steelers bets in the NFL. I'll be looking at those in a little bit.
Reed, I'm here for it. I don't love Rodgers. He's a very interesting individual. We were talking about last segment. Like, I think it can work. He doesn't turn over the football. Yeah. It's good defense. Come on. Reed, great stuff as always. Appreciate you. Enjoy Father's Day weekend.
Thanks, Stormy. Take care, guys.
Good stuff over there. And when we come back, too, I've got I don't know. Do you have any U.S. Open bets? I have a handful of them I'm going to go through.
I've got a couple of outrights. That's it.
Okay. I got a little too deep in the weeds. I'm pretty deep in on Shane Lowry right now.
Wow, all in.
Well, I've cashed a bunch of top 20s on him this season, so I'm keeping it rolling there. And then I think there are some other angles that we can get involved in the Irish one. So let's have a little bit of fun. Okay,
I have a very pro money moves card for the U.S. Open.
So I have a feeling I know what that means. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. Wrapping up the show today, our best bets for the U.S. Open. We've got some MLB, of course, NBA Game 3 of the finals coming up tonight. You will not want to miss it. Don't go anywhere.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you as we close out the day with best bets in a moment. Before we do have Game 3 of the NBA Finals that's coming up tonight. OKC laying 5.5 on the road. Series tied at 1 right now. OKC loses outright in the opener, bounces back in a big way with a 16-point win in Game 2. What version of these teams do we get ultimately in Game 3? Do you have any wagers on this one, or are you just kind of sweating out the futures?
No, we're just sweating out the futures. Obviously, we had a Pascal Siakam plus 150 to lead the series in rebounds. I'm going to be very interested to see how OKC shows up on offense. That's the big thing. The quiet part about their win in Game 2 was Shea was brilliant, but their offense as a whole was much better. Their offensive rating was very high, especially in the half court. It was very high. And you do wonder if these guys, being Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, and others, are going to do what they haven't done all postseason, which is show up and give Shea a little bit of support here offensively. Again, 4-3 straight up, 0-7 ATS away from home in this postseason. So will they get a road cover? 5.5 seems like a lot, but to me, I trust them defensively. I think that's the constant. I think that's going to show up. And if that does, and you get a pretty decent performance from this offense, they could cover this number on the road against Indiana. I like you kind of alluded to this. You're a very kind person, so you didn't want to go all the way in. Look, I picked them in 5. They can still win in 5.
Yeah.
And I think they're capable of doing that. I think they're capable of winning 4 straight. They're a good enough team that they're going to that they have the ability defensively to get this done. So the many people who are suddenly quiet after Game 2, I think will remain quiet later tonight as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think they win in 5 or 6 games. I don't want to count the Pacers out too much because they could win another game at home. I just don't think it's today necessarily. And for as much as we've talked about OKC struggling on the road and struggling to cover on the road, we also gave out the Pacers Game 3 numbers. For whatever reason, It's been kind of a kryptonite game for them so far in the postseason. And as you look at the betting market right now, on DraftKings, the bulk of that money is coming in on OKC, 69% of the handle, 56% of the bets. And you see here at Circa, too, that's where the sharp action is coming in. While 49% of the bets are on the Thunder, 70% of the handle is laying that 5, 5.5 with OKC as well.
We also need assists tonight. Don't forget it.
We need assists tonight. And
Shea Gilgeous Alexander, baby. Come on. Although I'll take Jalen Williams as well.
We need assists tonight. Sure, take more Jalen Williams, too. I need Tyrese Halliburton points as well. I'm trying to
pull up
what those numbers are. Yeah, I bet the over 17.5 on points him. I was looking at the home road numbers, particularly in the Eastern Conference Final. Average 24.3 points at home compared to 17.7 on the road. Went over his total in each of the 3 home games against New York and 5 of his last 7 in the postseason in Indiana. Plus, go back to regular season as well, averaging more than 20 points per game at home. So 17.5 is the number. He had 17 last game. Why not be better on home court?
Yeah. So that's the other dynamic, of course, at play, which is him just having to face Lu Dort, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, and how they're going to do that. Remember, fourth quarter, right, a lot of people were freaking out like, hey, you know, they discovered something. They're playing them more off ball. Maybe this is going to open things up. So we'll see if that's actually the case. But we'll be interesting to see if you get more scoring from Halliburton, more rebounding too. If you think Indiana's live, I would throw this out there. Maybe look at Tyrese Halliburton rebounds. When their offense is at its best, is he's getting those rebounds and running and leading the fast break. That might be something worth looking into if you're pro Halliburton and or pro Indiana tonight.
Okay. I am my first game of the day is already in action with Cubs Phillies, but I do have one baseball. Oh, let me do the
hardcore grinder.
Let me pay the bills real quick. Best bets as of the day, as always, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And if you haven't checked out the trifecta with GBank, First Bet, and VSiN, here's the lowdown. This is awesome. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. And then VSiN completes the trifecta. We're giving you a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. $200 in value there. So that's your $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. You want more information? I know you do. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. VSiN.com/GBank. But my one additional bet that I do want to throw in here on Major League Baseball, I referenced it a little bit earlier. Tigers as a dog yesterday. I'm going back to the well, plus 107 against Baltimore. Another instance where I just think Baltimore is getting overvalued, played in the market here. They're 13-22 as favorites this year. They're not successful in this role. You got Casey Mize on one side, one of Detroit's better starters, 6-1, 2.91 ERA. Yes, looking at some of the numbers I know you like to look at, could say he's due for some regression, but facing Zach Eflin, who's got a 4.47 ERA, 5.06 fielding independent, behind him, the fifth worst bullpen in the majors in a lineup that ranks 25th in scoring. Mize, meanwhile, has a top five bullpen behind him in a lineup that's third in scoring, run differential, top eight in slugging and OPS. Detroit's been one of the best teams in the American League all year, so let's get another one at plus money.
I hate it.
You always hate money.
No, I'm just like kidding. It. I'm down with it.
I feel like we're pro-Detroit. Plus, we're going to hang out with Derek this weekend. Keep it rolling.
Well, we're a very pro-Detroit show, and I do have the Tigers-Dodgers exacta in terms of my our World Series matchup at 35-1, so I'll be very pro-Detroit throughout the regular season and postseason. I should also note, that I do have under 1.5 in that Yankees-Royals game in the first three. That is 2-1 plus 200, so we'll be rooting for a very quiet first three frames tonight between Bubich and Schmidt.
Let's get into your U.S. Open plays. Where are we going in golf?
Got two outrights.
Tommy Fleetwood.
And?
And are you going with me? Are you going with Shane? Let's go.
Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood. Two outrights to sit back and sweat with our crew. Also going to throw in this parlay that Kelly sent us over, because why not? I need a 60-1. Miss the cut parlay. Cam Smith, Nick Dunlap, Tom Kim, Nick Taylor, Hideki Matsuyama, and Justin Thomas.
I've got Rory McIlroy to miss the cut. I'm throwing it in there.
I don't think it's terrible.
I just feel like with the driver issues that he's had, and I got 3-1. You can tell people are betting this. It was 5-1. I got 3-1. Now on DraftKings, the latest odds I see there, at least plus 225. So people are playing it. The driving accuracy has been an issue. He's coming off one of the worst performances of his career, definitely the worst in a non-major, in a field that was not great, that he was a massive favorite in. So I understand why his odds dropped from 6-1 to 12-1 to win it. And I think in a course that is really going to test you off the tee and in every area, that considering that's an area that he's been struggling and he's being snarky with reporters about his driver, let's just fade him. Why not?
Watch him do incredibly.
I know.
Well,
I agree with Kelly's thought process. Either like he misses the cup or he plays amazing.
Well, so I just remember like three, four years ago now. But it was when Colin Morikawa had played, I think it was the Scottish Open right before the British Open? And it was like his first tournament in Lynx Golf, and he had done terribly. And so I had Jordan Spieth that year to win the Open at a pretty good price. And Spieth is incredible. But you know who is even better? Colin Morikawa. Yeah. And so the whole point was, the whole narrative was like, he's going to be terrible. He played Lynx Golf for the first time, and he was awful. He's not going to be able to do it this time around. And he won the whole thing. So I'm sure with this course, where driving accuracy is very important, and Rory is coming in with a new driver, and it's the entire storyline, he'll just be lacing zingers down the middle the entire time.
Classic. You mentioned you've got the outright on Shane Lowry. I took Lowry in the without Scotty market at 35-1, also top 20, top 10. I did without Scotty. I missed this up. I was going to do 35-1 on Scotty, on Shane without Scotty. I did the Shane without Scotty, DeChambeau, Rory, and Rahm.
Okay.
So that's 25-1 there. Top 20 minus plus 120. I'm like all over with numbers. And top 10 at plus 300.
Just read the thing.
Just read the graphic, Stormy. a lot of the reasons we laid out earlier, but 10 top 25s and 14 PGA starts this year, four top 10s and a pair of runner-ups.
Wow, very pro Shane Lowry.
Missed the cut at the PGA Championship. It has 5 25s in his last six events aside from that clunker. He typically performs in majors, and we talked about the accuracy off the tee stuff with Kelly earlier, and I think that that's going to come into play here. And then I added Ben Griffin as well, who's been on a heater, two wins this season, including the Charles Schwab a couple weeks ago, finished second at the Memorial, seven tops 10s and 19 starts. And again, that's the without Scheffler, DeChambeau, Rahm, and Rory. 35-1 in that market still felt good to me. And I fired on Scotty. I know it's boring and I know it's stupid.
No, it's not. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I've had the angles in the past of, okay, I'm not going to bet Scotty going in. I'm going to look for a live betting opportunity. And even when he sucks, the number gets shorter.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go with the feel that in the other outright markets, I'm fading the opportunity for Scotty to win. And if Scotty does win, then I'm potential to cash multiple tickets. So I think it's fun. He's great in a course that requires calmness and no panic and patience and all of the skill set he's going to be good at. I think he's the best of the best.
Oh, there's no ravioli knives around.
It wasn't a ravioli knife.
Oh, he was just
It was supposedly
ravioli.
A wine glass that broke while making ravioli. So they say.
So they say indeed. So they say indeed.
All right.
We're on our way. We're on the way out.
Yeah, that's it for us. We're headed out to Omaha after this, catching a flight together in a couple hours. Going to be so much fun over the next couple
together.
Days. You don't want to sit with me?
No. Not at all.
You're just jealous that I'm A3 on Southwest. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck with your bets. We'll see you tomorrow from Rocco's in Omaha, getting ready for the College World Series.